the loop. I got off of a cruise ship yesterday where I spent an entire week in oblivion, in a bubble, knowing nothing that all of you have been working on, I'm sure, so crazy and diligently for the last week. So I want to be a complete sponge today and figure out what's going on, how each of you are responding. And in case you haven't heard it from others, thank you, because I know that you all probably worked all weekend long and many nights and many whatevers these last few days, because it is just from getting off the ship at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I have been on nonstop.
I'm in a meeting.
Zoom calls, conference calls, emails, it just hasn't stopped. So I can't imagine what the last week must have been like for all of you. So thank you. So I think that some of you, I know Limor, I think Dawn, I'm not sure how many others are in the NJHSA Executives Facebook group, but if you aren't, I would encourage you to get in that group. There seems to be a lot of conversation there from other agencies about protocols, what they're doing, because unfortunately we're in a point where there is no protocol. We have nothing to base any of what we're doing on, I think, other than the ever hourly changing CDC changes and things like that. So I'm going to just start, because it's a question that I've been asked all day, yesterday and today. What, for those of you that have food pantries, what are you doing about your food pantry clients?
I can tell you what we're doing. So first I want to say for everybody as well, I mean, I know how my weekend looked like and how today looked like, and it was insane. So I hope everybody gets to take a little bit of a deep breath at the same time, because we can't do it all. But so what we've decided for,
I just want to say, you can't do it all, and yet as executives you're expected to know the answers, to do it all, to make sure that everyone is feeling safe and supported. And that's really a hard task, you know, and a hard role. So that's why I thought this would be a really good opportunity for everyone to talk about that, because I think that's a big deal. But Limor, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And just as a background, so I'm in North Carolina. We have, in the county that I'm in, at least as of yesterday, I didn't get to see today, but I think we have about 26 cases. All schools are closed. This is the first day that they're closed. And we've decided already at JFS, I'm actually at the office right now, but we've decided already that everybody's working from home. So today was just, we have a few people here because we really do have to set some things up. And the food pantry has been really the biggest issue that I was trying to figure out. We decided to continue with our food pantry right now. Everybody's given gloves, but we moved to a very specific schedule. The plan right now is that for every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll have a staff member here. One day will be for just getting all the bags ready for our clients. And we have a pretty small food pantry, so that's a little bit more manageable. But we'll have that day for really getting the pantry organized, getting bags together. Our Tuesday is a day to kind of left as a reserve if there was too much demand that we can have some more time to get bags ready. And then Wednesday is a day that all of our clients can come in. We're going to do this drive-through style. So basically nobody's going to go into our offices at all. We ask the clients to come anytime between 9 and 2. And when they arrive to our parking lot, to give us a call. And a staff member will bring the food to their trunks. And so they leave. Even the collection box that we usually have for people to drop off food, we left it outside of our offices, mm-hmm. and we're going to empty it out every day and put it back inside. We are going to do, a lot of our clients can't actually come, so we are going to do some deliveries, but even with that, our volunteers or our staff will deliver the food to their porch, not knock on the door, not get inside. I think the entire situation is really sad because we are social services and really we're all about the face-to-face and the contact, but I think that we got to do what we got to do at this point.
When is your pantry normally a free choice pantry, or how do you know what to pack in the bags?
So it's not exactly free choice because it's very small, but we do sometimes stand with our clients and help them kind of choose. We're going to go for right now for standard bags and give the same thing to everybody or from whatever we have. The only thing that, the only difference that we will make is that if somebody needs a kosher bag, we'll make sure that they'll get a kosher bag for them.
Okay, great.
What are you doing about, can I ask what you're doing about cleaning, you know, the stuff that's being delivered and the stuff that you're giving out, because they've said, you know, the virus lasts for 3 days on this service. So what do you...
Yeah, I mean, everybody that's going to handle food, even if it's the bag itself, will be wearing gloves. We do have a thermometer here, and some of our board members asked us to do that. I'm not yet sure how I feel about that. So we haven't yet, you know, we didn't measure temperatures for clients or for staff or volunteers yet, but I'm still trying to figure that one out. We have gloves for everybody. We sanitize in the morning, sanitize again in the when we all leave, and that's the plan for right now.
Are you at work right now? Like that right now?
Yeah.
Say it again.
I feel like everything is that right now. This is right now as of this point in time, because you sit through another press conference and that email you were about to send gets ripped to shreds and you fresh again. Yeah. That's how the food pantries, we don't have our own here, but that's how the ones locally are operating.
Yeah.
Are you all in your offices right now?
Right now for today, we have a few staff that are here and we're making sure, I mean, we are, on a normal day, there is 9 of us in 2.5 offices. So social distancing is not really a thing here. So we moved very quickly to working from home. We have 3 staff here today and we're all very far away from each other just because we really had to get some bags ready, get some donations in, and all the millions of emails and phone calls are here. But then no, everybody's going home.
We are right now staying open. We are very small. We're 3 people and each have an office. And we're within a functional integrated federation. Our social worker, so our preschool here, because we're integrated, is closed after tomorrow. And so anybody who has children will be given the flexibility to work from home. Our social worker will be working from home. Our admin / transportation coordinator and I will be in. That's all for now, as long as the building is open, because we each have our own office, we have line of sight, we can be here on site. But everything, again, is date stamped for now.
Who's talking from 8:08? Was that you, Dawn, trying to talk?
Oh, yeah. Am I coming through?
Yes.
Okay. We're like Lemoore, where we have lots of people sharing not so many offices, and we're in the Federation building. So I sent an email out last night. Thank you, Lemoore, because I totally plagiarized what you put together and updated it for us. But basically, I'm trying, anyone who shares offices, I want the staff to coordinate that they, ideally, one of them is just working from home, potentially both of them or all 3 of them are working from home, and that they're not sharing offices at the same time. We do have the preschool in our building is now closed, and we have a couple of people with kids down there, and we put aside some money, and I told staff that if they can find babysitters, that we will help pay for childcare, because it's going to be really hard to get real work done with small children running around all the time. And so it's that balance of trying to support our clients, trying to support our staff, and knowing that they have family to take care of as well.
That's so true. That is the key to all of it. And you, what about you at home?
Well, right now I'm still in the office. I have my husband and 2 kids at home and would just as soon be elsewhere anyway right now, because it's going to be a long 3 weeks with no school and no college, because my older daughter is now home from college. Taking it, you know, 1 hour at a time, because, you know, what my plan as of 4 p.m. on Friday was completely changed 5 p.m. on Friday when the governor closed all schools.
Right, exactly. So what about others of you in Canada? What do we have, Jan?
So we just met with the staff this morning and decided that we're going to close our doors. We are going to continue working from home predominantly. A couple of people will be coming in. We also do counseling. So our therapist, the meeting of therapists is actually going to be after this meeting. And we're going to try to provide digital meetings. So even having group meetings virtually, staff meetings every Monday, we're continuing to work. Our home care is a moving target because seniors are also cancelling their home care. Right. We have a lot of immigrants on our home care staff, so Mexican immigrants, but also European immigrants. A lot of them have been travelling or their families visiting them, and so we've been putting in mandatory isolation for 14 days if they're in contact with anybody who's traveling. So it's narrowing our workforce. So it's changing. Home care is changing by the hour. But I think we can manage. We can set everybody up with remote access to central files, so most of us can work comfortably from home. We can set up meetings, virtual meetings, so we're forwarding phones to our receptionist at home. So everything's going to be virtual.
So those employees or contract workers that are staying at home for 2 weeks, are you paying them?
So most of those are actually employees, not contract workers. And we have 18 days of sick leave in a year. So we are paying them for that because it falls into sick leave time comfortably. If they get sick, we'll have to reassess because we certainly don't want people coming to work sick because they have to get paid. But at this point, we have enough time with everybody to cover that off without making a new decision. But whoever said, you know, things change by the hour, they definitely do. We keep reassessing every time the next thing happens. We're doing some things with home care, like ensuring that grocery cards. We distribute grocery cards quarterly. Normally we have a big event which we cancelled. So just working out how we manage delivery of those without exposing a whole bunch of people to a whole bunch of people. So just having one person deliver those and not sending multiple people to a house at the same time as well. So rescheduling so you don't have cleaners and personal care and a lot of people in the house at one time. Right. Yeah, so lots of considerations.
So I guess you all saw the network on Wednesday is doing 4 different calls at the same time. We're talking about, you know, the changing nature of fundraising now. That's one. Human resources is another. Residential services and how COVID-19 is impacting that, as well as in-home services. So check your emails if you're interested in any of those topics. You can join those. And then the next day, I don't know if we sent it out, but the Israel Trauma Coalition that deals with crises all the time in Israel, they're doing a special workshop for all of the network on the impact of this kind of a crisis on individual staff, clients, etc. So I thought that would be interesting. And that's on Thursday at, I think, 2:30. But you'll be seeing it, I think, in the emails that we send out. Yeah. Anyway.
What are some of you doing for, like, again, going back to Indy? We've stopped all, obviously, all congregate programming, all senior lunch, all social isolation, all of our Holocaust survivor programming, things like that. The ones that we're kind of struggling with right now are medical transportation and home-delivered meals. We don't offer generally home-delivered meals. We have a congregate site, but with that being stopped, there's concern in our community, will there be people who won't have access to food, things like that. I was wondering what you guys are looking at.
Is there a list to help you?
Are you being proactive and setting something up in case somebody calls, or are you waiting to hear if you get a phone call requesting those kind of things? How are you guys, since we're all hour by hour, what's your all sense of that?
We have a transportation program that we've canceled all non-essential medical visits, but we've asked them to tell us and let us know if they need transportation to a medical visit. And we're kind of making that call because it's primarily volunteer drivers, but we do have one and a half staff who drive, but the half staff had to back off because she's got underlying health issues and she doesn't want to be exposed at all. And that's perfectly fine. The other one, we are providing essential medical visits if they need to go to the doctor, and we're helping them make that decision. And I say helping them, a lot of them are folks that we know very, very well and can, you know, help them talk through whatever's going on. The other, for food, we have offered, we also do a lot of grocery visits and take people grocery shopping. And we have offered to do their grocery shopping for them, basic grocery shopping, not tons of grocery shopping, but providing, we're saying, our person has called, everyone said she's going on Wednesday, unless they need something in advance. She's going on Wednesday, give her a list. They're not getting to dictate which grocery store it is or, you know, all of that good stuff. But if they need this, that, or the other, we'll get it for them. They'll either pay us, give us a check for the grocery to cover the cost of groceries.
Hey, Zora, sorry about that. I disconnected you, I think. I apologize. This is Mary Elizabeth. I'm answering the phone for Dale.
Okay, hold on for a second. Oh. I'm sorry about that. I thought she was talking to us. Okay, go on, Jane. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So that's all I was saying. So we're just really trying to do what's most important. And then for our congregate type programs, we don't do congregate meals, but we have tons of programming throughout the week for seniors because we run our naturally occurring retirement community here in addition to other things. We're going to online programming. We have someone who does yoga every Tuesday, 3 different classes of yoga. She just got herself set up, so she's going to be doing video yoga and doing live Facebook Live stuff for chair yoga and floor. So we're doing other programs. I actually have an email that I'm just getting together for my board and staff of who can offer their expertise in doing a call-in for folks over the next month or so on various topics like financial management in these times, other kinds of health and wellness, legal, other kinds of questions. So looking for volunteers to help provide those opportunities. And we're just gonna have a set call-in time. Tuesday, it's call-in for this. Wednesday, it's yoga. Thursday, it's that. And just try to get people to continue to interact because obviously the social isolation is detrimental on so many levels and just giving them another opportunity. The other thing, and I don't mean to be talking too long, I apologize, is that all of our folks are calling all of their regulars. And checking in on them, helping them deal with various issues. And so that's keeping our folks quite busy.
Yeah.
But again, your other question, I'm in the office. A few of us are in the office. Others are working from home. We're just going to kind of stagger it because we have enough space that we can be spread out, but also giving everyone the opportunity to work from home.
We're doing something very similar. Our transportation program, we have 3 part-time drivers. All are in the over 60. And we had a transportation meeting scheduled this morning to start with. My plan coming into it was just to do medical rides, nothing social. They were coming off the books. But I also wanted to confirm that they were still okay driving. And I didn't want to start calling or have us start calling our clients without knowing I was definitely going to have drivers. And as of right now, they're still all on board and we keep open communication. We are canceling anything social and we're gonna be calling our clients 2 days out to confirm their appointments and have them confirm with their medical doctors that everything is still on. And then the day before, we're gonna call and remind them and confirm no cough, no fever, blah, 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 and drive. In terms of other needs like groceries, we talked about the possibility of us doing shopping for the clients if they feel that they can't get groceries or meal service. And either they call in, depending on the different stores in the area, either they call and we pick it up and drop off, or if we need to order online for them and then invoice them, it's going to figure it out as it goes.
Right. Debbie, I know you were trying to say something before. Now you can talk.
Okay, thank you. I have my colleague, Carol Wilson, here, who's in charge of our older adult programs. And we've, of course, canceled all programs except for our food pantry. And we're doing things very similar to the way Lamour described it in Raleigh in terms of dropping things in the car. And our people have specific appointments. We're asking for them to try to get their preferences, but we can only honor it so much. But Second Harvest said they were very glad that we were able to stay open. Our office is big enough that people are spread out, but a lot of people are staying working from home. What I wanted to offer is that I have a checklist that we came up with to call people, because we thought it really was a good opportunity to be proactive, and I'd be happy to share the checklist with everybody, because I think not only is it an opportunity to share it with your clients who are in most need, but I think of even a lot of our donors or people who are living alone and might not have a lot of support too. And I was on the last call last week with Ruben and you, Lisa, Lorraine, about the other agencies and what they could do. And they talked about the importance of JFS. This is really our opportunity to try to mobilize the community. So I think the more proactive we can be, the better it is for everybody. But you still have to be careful yourselves too, because we're all at risk. So it's hard. It's like walking a tightrope. And like you say, everything changes from day to day. You can write something up yesterday and today, it doesn't mean it's Lupkus.
So true. So that would be great if you wanted to send it to me, Debbie, and I can put it into the resource file. We have a whole COVID-19 resource file, which is fantastic, with protocols and different kinds of things that people have written up that you could look at, as well as this. And Lemore, whatever you wrote for Dawn or for your own community that Dawn thought was so fabulous and you tailored it to your community, we'd like that too, because potentially that...
I shared that on the exec Facebook group, but I updated since, because same way I made it and then they all decided to close the school, so I changed it. So I'll send you the updated one.
Okay, terrific. That's great. Welcome, Betsy. I see Thank that you just came on. I also wanted to mention that we, in the fall, you may or may not remember, we did a certification course for people for telemental health certification. Mm-hmm. And we actually have now established a partnership affiliation with this company, and they have a lot of different kinds of courses that one can take, whether you just want to learn about the legal or ethical or the compliance issues when it comes to telemental health counseling. And if you sign up using the link that we're going to send out, and there may be some potential funding that we get. I think that Jasper Home Foundation that gave out all those cameras, they may also be interested in helping fund some training. So be on the lookout for an email like that if any of you or your staff are interested in participating in any of those kinds of courses.
That's great.
Just wanted to mention that, because I do think that moving forward, who knows how long we're going to be in this state, telemental health is really important, and being compliant if you're providing those kinds of services is going to be even more important, because you don't want to get in any trouble.
I know on the last call also, Lisa, Ruben said you were going to work with Medicare and Medicaid to see if possible funding was available. I mean, we've decided to have all our counseling on the telephone, whether we're reimbursed or not, but it would certainly be nice to get reimbursed.
Right. Absolutely. Betsy, did you want to chime in on, we're just talking about, you know,
everything.
COVID-19 and its impact, and the agencies and yourself and your community.
I guess we're like everybody else. You know, we worked, I was in yesterday. We wrote up protocols, procedures. We've been doing it all since last week. And of course, things go out of date almost sometimes before you finish writing them up.
That's what we've been saying.
Yeah. We've been looking at every single program that we run and trying to come up, coming up with each one for each one, what our new procedures and protocols are going to be. I'm sure it's what everybody else is doing. And it's you know, I felt like after yesterday, spending most of the day on this and with my the director of our federation, that, you know, we pretty much pulled together things that we were pretty happy with. It's one thing to write it all up, and then of course it's another thing to actually start implementing it. So my staff is all in today, and we've barely gotten out of my office as we sit, you know, 6 feet away from each other, trying to figure out how we actually do these things now, and what does it feel like when you're really doing it. So,
what are some of the protocols that you've written up that you're talking about? And you're from Greensboro,
yeah,
North Carolina, just because. Yeah. Yes.
So protocols, you know, about coming into the building, about cleaning the building, about changes in our food pantry, changes in our van service, organizing volunteers, setting up, you know, sort of what we're calling our schmooze line, which is our reassurance line, getting people hooked into, you know, and then getting the word out. So, I mean, each one of those things is, and then of course, taking care of the staff, you know, making sure that they're okay and that they know that they can work from home, plus setting up all of the computer side of all this, all the platforms that have to be engaged. And some of my staff is very, really good with it, and some of it's really learning it. Right. So, I mean, we're developing protocols for all of those things, and, you know, I'm sure everybody else is. I think our two biggest challenges, one was getting the food pantry set up and working out a protocol so that the volunteers our building is essentially is closed except for visitors by invitation. And then there's a protocol of what they have to, you know, what they have to, how they are, whether we let them in the building. And then once they're in the building, how to keep people safe. You know, and so our food pantry is now, I think what a lot of people have decided, it's kind of a drive up, it's kind of a drive up, and then helping volunteers figure out how we're going to do that, be taking the bags to them. You know, we have carts, they have to be cleaned each time. People will use they don't even have to come into the building. And then letting them know that this is happening, and that we're doing this for their protection as well. I think our other big challenge was our van service. You know, as somebody said at one point, it's like a little mini cruise ship, you know? so we've yeah. restricted it to only medical appointments that are necessary. And we are trying to keep only one person on the van at a time, maybe two. If we need to, and we can seat them sort of far away from each other. And the van drivers have all agreed to continue working, but we have protocols for what they have to do when they're getting in the van and when people get in and out of the van. So it just goes on and on. Oops, sorry. It just goes on and on.
Betsy, are those things that, I don't know if you heard earlier when Lisa was mentioning that there's a, I don't know if it's a Dropbox or what, that people are sharing that information?
I came in late. No, I didn't. So it's on Dropbox?
We have a resource library on the website, which is coronavirus, COVID-19. I can't remember exactly what we called it.
Okay.
But when you go, I can send all of you information as to how to get to it. I guess Lori was asking potentially if you could share some of those protocols, what's there written up?
Yeah. Some of them are.
We know that they're fluid. We know that it's ever changing.
We can date it today at 1:30.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
No, I think for some of us, some people who are like you, you know, all of us in very small organizations where some of us are integrated with our federation, some are not. And one of you, echoed what I was about to say, that, you know, this is a time for JFS to really share what we do. I think it may have been Debbie that
step up and show everyone what we're worth, right? So they know to fund us and why we're important, right, in the communities.
Yeah.
You know, our focus is still providing the services and how we can do that the best way. And, you know, that's why I was the timing of this, unbeknownst to Lisa or I, was that, you know, we scheduled this weeks ago. Oh, we'll talk about whatever was the virus. Who knew?
Yeah.
That it would, you know, be where we are today, so timely.
You know, one thing I've seen, because I'm on everyone's Facebook page, or I don't know, somehow I get all the emails from everyone. A lot of agencies have written letters to their communities, right? They've written them in their email distribution lists, on their websites, whatever it is. And it's really meaningful. It's meaningful when it comes from the ED, you know? So maybe some of
joy,
you...
The joy of working at home, you get to see, you know, all this.
Right. I could send you some that I thought were good, or you guys can write them yourself, or maybe you've written them all. I don't know, but I do think that that goes a long way, you know, to showing the community, you know, that you're
That'd
here.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Our marketing person, we're part of our federation, so, you know, we have a marketing person, and she's, and we're a small agency, so otherwise we wouldn't have one. But she tells me that when we send out, you know, like from past experiences with the hurricanes and the government shutdown in Pittsburgh, I mean, it's just unbelievable, really. But that the open rate on those JFS ones that we send out are just huge. They're bigger than the federations. Mm-hmm. Because people know us as the people who are going to be helping. And so that's really, it's a good time to do that. I think that's a great idea. Good reminder.
We're also part of the Federation, so most of the communication was coming from them. But I sent a separate email this morning, really with, it was a personal email that came with specific changes to our services, but also how people can help, because obviously people have been asking. Yeah. And within the first 10 minutes of sending it, we got to an open rate of about 30%. And got about $500 worth of donations and six new volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fabulous.
It just really shows the power of that.
Let's get your letter.
Can I ask a question regarding volunteers? I've been trying to come up with different ideas for volunteers. We have ideas like, you know, picking up medicines, picking up food, reassurance line, dropping off food. We have an Amazon wish list for food on our website. What other ideas, ways that we can utilize volunteers? Because we also are getting a lot of calls and, you know, we're trying to organize it all in our head, but I'd love more ideas for how you'll use volunteers. And also another question is, are you going to use, we've been debating like 16 to 18 year olds who may be out of school and drive. We have a lot of discussion this morning about whether that was a good group to tap or not. Obviously they need parental permission. Is that putting children at risk and they're not really responsible enough? Or I don't know, we were trying to think that through. But any ideas for ways you're going to use volunteers?
I know we've gotten a lot of calls from parents of kids who are home from college and in high school who are at home saying, you got to find something to do to keep them busy.
Yeah.
And do that. So we're taking a step back on that and really thinking, you know, because we got to look at confidentiality. We got to look at, you know, the risk reward kind of thing, even if they're going. Right. Dropping them off, leaving them at the door, knocking, and then walking away, we're still putting them out into the community.
Right.
I just had a huge meeting this morning. We're also a functional federation at our JFS, and they are getting information, I'm not sure from where, or the sense that everything is going to be on a complete quarantine within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
Just stepping back to the teen issue, my other concern would be they're walking incubators, not just the threat to them, but not all of them. We can't see what they're doing 24/7. And I know many kids out there are still getting together with their buddies and not 100% supervision. And so it's not just about protecting them, but still protecting our
our populations, our clients, from whatever they're walking around with.
Right. Well, that's
the same knock and drop.
Yeah.
Right. That's the part. We had a call with one of our board members yesterday, who's a physician, and she said that, as she's a transplant physician, said that they're looking at every human being as already being a carrier.
Yeah.
And do you want to be that person that's going out and potentially sharing it with somebody else, and that the isolation is probably the best thing.
That's true for everybody, not just teens.
Right. Oh, so yeah.
Right.
How do we balance that with people who are calling up and they want to do things? And now if they're adults, I guess, they can make that choice. But in a sense, we're all walking around, risking exposure and exposing other people. I don't have an answer.
That's the hard part. That is the hard part. Like, when do you know when you should call it quits or when you should stop walking around? Or, I think that the government, my husband told me that he thinks in 2 days, well, I don't want to be a real, doomsday player, but he thinks that the whole country is sort of going to be shut down like Italy
like
was.
Israel.
It will be.
Israel.
This point is, it should.
Israel. New York State is just about there. I mean, they're trying, they're closing everything down at 8:00 tonight.
Same in New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. So New Jersey, yeah, there's a tri-state kind of agreement, and with good reason. And so I think that, right, we need to be really mindful of that, which is why we've gone to the essential support that we're offering. And everything else on our end is being offered from home. We tried to do it so we could connect even on the grocery shopping with the Instacart and stuff, but a lot of the grocery stores around here were just overwhelmed by that.
Right.
And didn't have the capacity, so kind of just shut down their delivery services.
Mm-hmm. Even Amazon right now is really difficult to get through. It's on the wish list. We have a wish list as well, and even right now it's very hard to find cheap food on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Let alone toilet paper.
Yeah.
So, did you all get that email from the network about Cajal and college students?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's funding involved in that or if they're just hoping they can have partners so that they can send some of the college students that they know are in need of support. So did anyone reach out and find out? I wish I knew more, but I don't. Anyway, if anyone's interested in doing that with their college students, they should reach out to that guy. I think there might be funding available.
So a different thing, though, that this is just preliminary from our end. It's nothing that we set up yet, but we actually were reached by a group of an organization, a Jewish organization around here, that wanted to bring together younger volunteers to do the phone outreach calls to older adults and teach them also how to use the technology like Zoom if they have that ability. So it really reminded me of Uniper, but without having the actual things. But these are people that can really train over the phone. They won't need to go into people's homes. So they'll be doing that over the phone so they can still get connected with people. So I think that would be a really great idea to do that. We're still in the first stages of setting this up. So I'm not sure how it will work yet.
And then they would go through the same volunteer screening and confidentiality that any other volunteer would?
Probably.
Well, everyone's being very creative, right? And thinking of ways to reach out to people who are socially isolated. I mean, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at our list of clients and the community and tiering it. Those that are a social worker absolutely has to be the one to call and reach out and see how things are. Those that are admin will call because they're on our transportation list to serve on the fringe. And then those we just want that friendly for, we're going to seek our regular volunteers, ask them to do that telephone reassurance. And then if they hear something, maybe someone gets elevated, but we're gonna do it in tiers and look to see who gets called by whom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we handle it.
Figure that out, right? That'll take time to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea. Well, and I know that there's a lot, out there, not only through the network, but I just got something that just popped up on my screen.
from the nonprofit network that they're having a conference call kind of thing, as well as, and I'm trying to find the other one so I can tell you all. The JCPA is talking about Jewish values during a pandemic.
Saw that, yeah.
When is that?
That one is today. Oh, wait, I just got it today at 1 o'clock. Hold on.
I got that too.
Our nonprofit network just had a call at one also, but I had my director of marketing on that call and she just sent me the notes. I'm looking at it right now. It's really just a lot of how best to support our community. There are a couple of, I said collaboration with some of our banks and insurers for response for operational needs for support. But this is more of a, they're doing a fundraising, a community fundraising thing through United Way and our community foundation to support those in need for, you know, because of the crisis. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one I got for COVID-19 and the nonprofit response, health fundraising and risk assessment. It's Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm happy if you want me to forward that to you, Lisa, I can.
Sure.
sometimes the more information, the better. Sometimes the more information, the more our head spins.
Yeah.
But I think having, you know, this information from all of you, and because we're all somewhat in the same boat. We're all small. Some of us are functional federations. Some are standalone. But we still have the same kind of underlying goals and the mission that we want to make sure we're getting folks taken care of the best way we can in this uncertain time. And as much as we can share on the network's website, on that resource library, I always forget what it's called, but between the Facebook page and that, I think as much as you're willing to share, the better for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think, what is it they say, you know, when you copy what somebody else has done, it's the highest form of flattery. So
and why should everyone have to reinvent the wheel? That's right. Really one of my biggest goals is that you can all learn from each other and share with each other and support each other because you're in different communities and you have to tailor it like Dawn tailored Lee Moore's, but the essence was the same, I'm sure.
Sure. And especially now when we're in this, you know, emergency, this crisis mode where, you know, we're just scrambling to keep our head up, we've got to be able to utilize some of that. So I think all of those kind of things are really good. And one that somebody just sent me, I'm going to ask you all, they've sent us ways that we can forward the office phones to our mobile phones so that we can access our phone calls at home. What are you, or have you thought about, for people who don't have unlimited data plans for their phones and things like that?
Has anyone thought of that?
You know? Yeah. Or has anybody thought of that?
Late last year, we transferred to the 8x8 phone system. So asking people to, so we changed our phones and it enables everyone to have the app on their phone so they can call out, get calls in and call out on their work phone number.
Which, we started to reimburse.
It's called 8x8, but it's a whole phone system. And, you know, it has pluses and minuses, but it's good enough. You just have to work through it. But it's, I don't know how it would work if you would like immediately hop on, but because we ordered the phones and all of that. But basically what we did was we just started reimbursing people $10 every pay period, which covers if they needed to increase their data plan, we figured it would pretty much cover that.
Okay.
Whether or not it totally does or not, but it does enough that it get for the amount that they're using it. And it was, it's more than they were getting before, to be quite honest. So, you know, obviously that shakes out to be $260 a year. It was definitely an investment on our part, but I feel that it's very worth it, you know, for this kind of situation.
That's great.
In Canada, some of our major providers are eliminating data caps during the COVID-19 crisis so that people can get as much data as they want, which is nice.
Wait, what? The Canadian government's doing that?
No, just the company. So some of the major connectivity providers have said they're removing data caps during the crisis so that people won't be billed for going over on data.
Wow, that's terrific.
I can't imagine if Verizon or AT&T are going to do that, but who knows?
Wouldn't that be great if they would? So did you all hear, I'm sure you did, about that 19-year-old basketball player who is covering all the costs of the salaries for the arena that they play in?
Yeah.
I mean, and he's 19, and he's the one who's being the role model for all of these, you know, big NBA stars.
Well, what, I mean, and I guess that kind of leads a question, you know, people like drivers who may be full-time or part-time, and if we're not providing those services for our clients, are you still planning on paying your drivers for this time? Are you making it be a mandatory sick day kind of thing? You know, it's kind of out of their control, but yet this is what's happening.
That's a very hard question.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Good question. I didn't have to go that far down the rabbit hole, fortunately, today, because they all responded that they're going to keep going. Okay. But it is a conversation this afternoon with our CEO, because things change rapidly. Right. But at least I knew I didn't have to have it first thing. But that is on my list of things to discuss with our CEO. Right now, our preschool is closed after tomorrow for 3 weeks. For now, and the teachers are being paid out. So that's the precedent for the drivers, I guess, as a integrated federation. So I was assuming
our federation has said for the next two pay periods, so that's the next month,
right?
That, you know, it will be there. But, you know, as ever changing as it is, I think that's, you know, we tend to focus so much on our clients, but we have to also remember our staff.
Yep.
Did you say for the next 2 weeks or the next 2 months?
The next two pay periods.
Next two pay periods. Is that a weekly or?
Two weeks.
So it's for the next month, essentially.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what our federation has said.
Okay. For the next
month. But our federation also has said as of this morning that they are closed until May 1st.
It's enough, yeah.
Wait, the federation just said they're closed until May 1st?
Yep.
And they're paying for 1 month of pay period?
For right now.
For right now.
Are they working remotely?
They're all working remotely.
Yeah. I mean, that's another, you know, difference. If somebody is working remotely, I mean, there are a lot of things people can do at home. It might be slightly different than their job. I mean, this is the opportunity to get things done that you never would have done in a million years. Because you never had time.
Right.
So like my president of my board, who's a rabbi, he always has plenty for me to do. He sent me a long list of what people can do at home. So, I mean, but the question is, how long can we go like that? You know, I feel strongly if we're telling somebody they need to stay home because of their health risk, you know, health risk to others, then we need to have some form of reimbursement.
I mean, if you stop paying people, it really just makes the situation even worse. I mean, there's, you know, and not just for our employees, but, you know, everywhere. I mean, you just, the hole gets deeper and deeper. People don't have their salaries. Then what happens to them? Then they need more services, and the services are shutting down. I mean, it's just a black hole.
Right.
I don't have an answer, and I'm, you know, I know everything has limits to it. But it is really a challenge. I mean, it's a values question to some extent, and it's good to, you know, I mean, I think that's really wonderful that your federation made that commitment for the month. I mean, we have it's not even public yet, but we have like a 2-week commitment right now, and they're going to reassess, which doesn't mean they wouldn't go longer, but we just haven't gotten that far yet.
It is a values question. I agree with you.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, when we decided, because we had a lot of meetings last week about the preschool, so we know we can do it for 3 weeks. We have asked parents to consider not asking for a full refund or partial to help us keep our lives whole of our teachers. We're going to see what that response is like. I know that just what you guys. In Ohio, our governor did sign an order, an emergency order, that anyone who cannot work because of COVID-19, either because they need to go into isolation or sick, or because they cannot work because they're asked not to, or their work is closed, will be eligible for unemployment without having to seek employment. So they've already put in effective orders immediately.
What state?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
So hopefully that'll help some when funds run dry. How long can you keep going? Who knows how long this will go? You know, we've had the values question, and we know at least short term it's what we want to do. But it's going to become a question of long term, depending on how long this goes, I'm sure.
That's right.
Yeah, our federal government has implemented unemployment insurance with only a 1 week waiting period and eliminated all the rest of the provisions so people can have easy access to it. But they still have to wait 1 week though.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, I see there's someone on this call. I don't know if we've been talking with you because it's just a phone number, 608. Who is that? Does anyone here have a phone number, 608, 605? I can't even see. 608. Maybe they're not on the call. Okay. Maybe that's Mary. It's not there. That's probably Mary.
It could be Dawn because she had a phone call first and then she got on the phone.
Okay. That's probably it. Well, you know, we have our conference, as all of you know, coming up in May, and chances are that will never be happening in person. So we're hoping to go virtual, right? Do a virtual conference, and you know, we're going to give some refund, but probably not all of it because we're still doing it. And it's all, you know, we're all trying to figure out how do you make it work so you don't go under, right? Because it's expensive.
I have a suggestion about that. So I was supposed to go to a day-long conference, which got changed to being virtual. The nice thing about it was that it will still count in North Carolina as on-site education. In our state, the licensure is, for an LCSW is 40 hours, and 20 can be can be online, but 20 have to be actual in the classroom. And when they change this from an actual classroom experience to a virtual one, they're still counting it as an actual in the classroom experience, which is great because you can't go to things. If you need to get a couple more CEUs for that, there's nothing to go to that's where they want to bring you. So if there's any way that the conference can get approved as let's go virtual.
Right, we are in the process of doing that.
Great.
Looked into that like 10 days ago.
Great.
That could happen. I think it's happening. I think that's happening in lots of different places. Good. Right. We want people to still get their CEUs.
Good.
The conference. And that's social work education. Education. So you're going to be hearing a lot from the network. Make sure we don't go into your junk mail because there's a lot of things coming up. And Limore, whoever has any information about any protocols or letters ever sent to me, I will send to you some of the letters that I thought were pretty good. And, you know, you can do whatever you want with them or not, but it was just good ideas.
Can I ask a question before I know we're probably going to have to shut off soon and I actually have our governor speaking in a second. Is anybody signed up for the White House webinar call, and if so, can somebody blast notes through NJHSA? There's a White House update at 2:00.
Yes, so I
am signed up. We're going to meet with my team. So
I network will have. Did you want an invitation, or you just wanted information about it?
The link
information
that
about it. So I saw. I got the invitation. It was full. The registration was capped already by the time I saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably be recorded.
Someone through NJHSA can blast out notes about it.
I don't know if they can or can't, but I imagine someone will.
Yeah.
So I don't want to promise it because I can't be on it, and I don't know who may be on it.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, listen, I wish you all the best of luck. I know these aren't easy times, and it's good you have each other, reach out to each other, connect with each other, because you know, together, I always say we're better and we're stronger. So I believe that.
And if Lisa, if you don't mind sending everybody, you know, what you get and the link so that everybody can get onto the,
I will.
The network's library.
Network's library, absolutely.
And then also anybody who's not in the Facebook group, please, please join. There's so much information that we share with each other on there. I can't thank everybody enough for that. So hang in there. That's the only thing I can tell you. Enjoy, you know, we all get to see each other's living rooms or whatever now.
Yeah.
Just take care of yourselves. And like Tara just said, take care of yourselves and your families.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.